What is up, young adults? Thanks for tuning in today. Don't forget to like, share, and subscribe. Also, follow us at YA_PowerOfLove. And as always, thanks for tuning in.
Hey, what's up, young adults? It's Mirari back with you on the podcast. Whoop, whoop. I know you're excited because I'm excited. And today I'm going to do things a little bit different. I have been on The Covenant Wealth by David Oyedepo. And if you have not read this book, please do yourself a favor and read it. It's amazing. And I know, I believe it was Georgie or Courtney, one of them had mentioned the new series that the Young Adults is going to come out with, The Young and Prosperous. And I am hyped about that. I'm super excited. And so today, I'm actually going to read you a chapter out of this book that I know is going to bless you, because I know it blessed me. And it will help. It'll help you in the financial area in your life. Amen. And it's going to break it down, and I'm excited for you to hear this chapter, if you haven't read this book. So let me make sure that this thing is recording, because it looks a little funny. Yeah, it's recording. Okay. So it's The Covenant Wealth and Worldly Riches. Let me start by saying that it is possible to be wealthy outside the kingdom. There are quite a lot of wealthy people in the world today who don't know Jesus. The rich man in the days of Lazarus, the beggar, didn't know Jesus. He was rich on earth, but ended up in hell. So it is possible to be wealthy on earth, but without Christ. How is it possible? By many means, human wisdom. How is it possible? It says right here, how is it possible to be wealthy without Christ? It says, by human means, by human wisdom, human strength, involvement in too many different jobs, various dubious acts, gambling, forgery, etc. Wealth is possible outside the kingdom. Now, a side note of that, it said many jobs. If you have more than one job and you look like you need Jesus, but you do have Jesus, I'm gonna tell you right now, it's time to let go of some of them jobs. Anyways, characteristics of wealth outside the kingdom. These are the characteristics of wealth outside of the kingdom. Let us consider the characteristics of wealth outside of the kingdom, which should be enough to discourage anyone from it. Number one, if you're taking notes, pride. And let me tell you right now, pride is such an ugly thing. Wealth outside the kingdom makes room for pride, and pride is a social cancer. It kills, it destroys. Why is it so cheap for him to be proud? Because he sees his wealth as what his own hands have made. Now, let me tell you, side note, I've met people that have told me to my face, I have this because I worked for it. I worked so hard for this. And me, I. Where are they today? You don't want to know. Not in a good place. Thus, it is easy for him to become puffed up. Be careful of that. In Acts 12, Herod made an oration and the people shouted, "The voice of a God and not of a man." He proudly pulled up his shoulders in acceptance of the people's praises. Now be careful of that. The Bible says, Worms came out and ate him up instantly. This shows that pride has worms inside it that eats up people. Nebuchadnezzar grew so strong that God was no longer relevant to him. Then God demoted him into the animal kingdom. And for 7 years, he moved about under the dews of the day. The rich fool said, I have done this. I have done that. I will now say to my soul, rest, eat, drink. There is hardly any way anyone can make it outside the kingdom without being proud of such achievement. Pride is a silent killer. It destroys without remedy. Let me read that again. Pride is a silent killer. It destroys without remedy. Number two, insecurity. Wealth outside the kingdom is characterized by a deep sense of insecurity. Such people run around and do everything to protect what they have. Oh my goodness. A certain ruler met Jesus, to whom Jesus said, sell all that thou hast and distribute unto the poor. In response, the scriptures record that the ruler was very sorrowful, for he was very rich. If you haven't read this story, God told him to give everything. He was rich. God told him to give everything, but he was like disappointed, you know? And you can read that in Luke 18, 18, 23. You know what? Let's do that right now. Let me read that in the NLT. Matthew, Mark, Luke. Okay, Luke 18, 18, 18. And it says, I'm reading out the NLT, the rich man, it's called. Once a religious leader asked Jesus this question, good teacher, what should I do to inherit eternal life? Jesus said, why do you call me good? Jesus asked, only God is truly good. But to answer your question, you know the commandments. You must not commit adultery. You must not murder. You must not steal. You must not testify falsely. Honor your father and mother. The man replied, I've obeyed all these commandments since I was young. When Jesus heard his answer, he said, there's still one thing you haven't done. Sell all your possessions and give the money to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come follow me. 23. But when the man heard this, he became very sad. He was very rich. Okay, so Jesus knew. He knows everything of our lives. Every little thing, everything you try to hide under the rug, he knows it all. Don't think that you're hiding something that he doesn't know of. So he knew that there was one area of this man's life that he needed to let go of, right? Come on, Jesus knows everything, guys. So every rich man outside the kingdom is plagued by a deep sense of insecurity. This makes them to run around everywhere looking for how to protect what their hands have wrought. His hands rotted constantly. Consequently, his hands must protect. So, this number two, number one is pride. Number two is insecurity. Number three, temporary. Wealth outside the kingdom never truly lasts, because Proverbs 13:11 says, wealth gotten by vanity shall be diminished. And let me read that in the NLT for you real quick. Proverbs 13:11 says, wealth from get-rich-quick schemes quickly disappear. Wealth from hard work grows over time. Man, that's a fire scripture. Again, I personally know somebody that these little get rich quick schemes, I'm gonna tell you right now, you better stop it if you're doing that, because let me read what happens. God's word says you have no business being envious of the wicked that prosper, because he is placed on a slippery grounds that won't be able to keep him for long. When next you look for him, he is nowhere to be found. Come on. You will look for him and not find him. Psalm 73:18 says, you will look for him and he will not be found. The riches of the wealthy outside the kingdom is slippery. Outside of the kingdom, it's very slippery. After a while, you can't see the man again. He is gone. Poof, gone. So we say it is temporary. It is very deceitful. So, number three, characteristics of the wealth outside the kingdom. It's temporary. Temporary. Number four, sorrowful. Wealth outside the kingdom is accompanied with sorrow. We read in 1 Timothy 6:10, for the love of money is a root of all evil, which while some covet after they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. I'm going to read that in the NLT. 1 Timothy 6:10 says, for the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. And some people craving money have wandered from the true faith and pierced themselves with many sorrows. Ouch. Okay. It is always characterized by sorrows. A man can't sleep, and when he goes to bed, he gets up very early. He is not sure of what happens next. He does not live to enjoy the work of his hands. He does not live to enjoy the works of his hands. Sorrowful. True wealth is a possibility outside the kingdom. It's possible, but these four characteristics make it deceitful. It is not a thing to be envied. It does not afford the own comfort. Let me tell you right now. Those are the characteristics of wealth outside of the kingdom. Pride, insecurity, temporary, sorrowful. What kind of life? First of all, there is no life. There is no life. You're getting money, and it's like I always tell people, you get money, and you're putting in a basket, but there's a hole at the bottom. You never accomplish anything. You're always tired. There's never enough. You're trying to live up to the Joneses. And really, let me tell you, what ugly life that is. Now that I've said all those ugly things, there is hope. There is hope in Jesus. Amen. Now, characteristics of wealth in the kingdom. Hallelujah. I'm grateful for this. These, on the other hand, are the characteristics of the covenant wealth, what it is made of and how it affects the holder. Number one, humility. Covenant wealth humbles the holder. Anyone that has it is humbled because he knows it is a great blessing from the Lord. He also knows that only the meek shall possess the wealth. Now, let me tell you something. Humility goes a long way. And because in our lives, and I know y'all have heard our testimony, me and my husband's, you know, the first thing when we got all of our businesses was, Lord, you are the center of this business. You are the head. We put you first in every cent, every dollar that comes in is yours. Now the rest, you know, you give us, you know, what we deserve. So I'm going to tell you right now, if you put God first, get ready for the overflow, amen. Sorrow free. Number two, Proverbs 10:22. Let me read that in the NLT because some of these words, you know, 10:22. I apologize if you hear my dogs snorting in the back. 10:22. The blessing of the Lord makes a person rich and he adds no sorrow to it. Characteristics of wealth in the kingdom, sorrow free. Woo! Joy is priceless, a priceless asset. It has medical qualities. The Bible says a merry heart does good like a medicine, but a broken spirit endeareth the bones. Proverbs 17:22. Now, I know if y'all haven't been Sunday nights, Pastor Sandy's been on fire. And I know she's been on the joy. Happiness is temporal. Joy is, woo, forever. Amen. I'm sorry. I'm just excited about this. So, Proverbs 17:22. A merry heart does it good like a medicine, but a broken spirit deareth the bones. When you have joy, it is like you are on a permanent medical prescription given by God. It affords you free health. Many people are sick today and nameless, underdiagnosable diseases that defy medical science. This is purely due to dryness of the bones and brokenness of the heart. Wow. Let me repeat that again. Many people are sick today of nameless, underdiagnosable diseases that defy medical science. This is purely due to dryness of the bones and brokenness of the heart. There are not tablets for its treatment. No injection can help, nor any capsule can cure it except Jesus. Hallelujah. So the riches from God are sorrow-free and worthy to be envied. As I always say, the ministry has not cost me. Now, David Odepo speaking. I always say the ministry has not cost me one sleepless night, yet I just sleep like a baby. Hallelujah. Sorrow-free. Say that with me. I am sorrow-free. Somebody once asked me, do you ever have problems? I replied, maybe a problem came and I didn't know its name. Maybe problem came and I didn't know its name was problem. I am just too comfortable on the inside and refreshed as a proof of the outside that I don't know how it feels. Kingdom wealth is accompanied with a bonus of joy. Hallelujah. Take a selah on that while I take a sip of my coffee. Let me read that again. It says, kingdom wealth is accompanied by a bonus of joy. Joy, joy, joy. Okay. Let me recap. Characteristics of wealth in the kingdom are humility, sorrow-free, and then number three, durability. Wealth in the kingdom endures. It is real and lasting, not temporary. The reason is because Ecclesiastes 3:14, whatsoever the Lord doeth, it shall be forever. And you know, the Bible says, it is the Lord that giveth thee power to get wealth. So if your riches come from God, then it shall be forever. That means that there is no place for insecurity. Insecurity is such an ugly thing. If he gave it, then he will keep it. Romans 11:27 says, for the gifts and calling of God are without repentance. Once God gives it to you, he gives it to you. He's not schizophrenic. Indian giver, so they call, like, give it to you and then give it back to me. No. For the gifts and calling of God are without repentance. If you are in the covenant, be patient. Come on now, patience. Even if it tarries, wait for it, because it will surely come. When it comes, it stays. Hallelujah. That is to say that whatever the Lord doeth, it shall be forever, including his acts of wealth. Amen. Now we're talking about riches here. So this is pertaining, you know, riches. So for the it shall be forever, including his acts of wealth. All right. Number five, increases. The path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. Proverbs 4:18. This means that wealth does not reduce. It only increases. Hallelujah. We can boldly say about any Christian that whatever position you see him That whatever position you see him accompany today, it is the least position for him.
Now, wherever you're at right now, just know that you will increase. You will go to the next level. Tomorrow we'll see him yet go higher. His wealth has an assurance of brighter future. It is not something that happens today and you can't see its evidence tomorrow. It does not diminish nor it's stagnant. It is on an everlasting increase until Jesus comes. That is your portion. If you're listening to this today, that is your portion. You do not decrease, you do not diminish, nor you do not stay at the same spot. You do not stay stagnant. Whatever you're making today, that is not the most you will make. You will increase in Jesus' name. Is in an everlasting increase until Jesus comes. Thus, we see clearly that covenant wealth is not available in the world. Wealth got outside of the kingdom, is a pledge. It tortures its owner and makes him uncomfortable. That is in direct opposition to the kingdom's wealth, which is designed for the comfort of the saints. It constantly assures him that the best is yet to come. This truth annoys the devil, but there is nothing he can do about it. Know this today. The sinner's wealth only flourishes on the outside, where he is diminishing on the inside. Where God to saddle you with the sinner's problems for just a day, you would never envy him. His wealth doesn't allow him comfort at all. Indeed, he is most miserable among men. Oh my goodness. I think I've mentioned this before on a podcast. The richest person in the world, and they're depressed. They don't have peace. They don't definitely have joy. You know, why would you want to look up to somebody like that? Anyways, miserable. It says, allow him comfort at all. Indeed, he is most miserable among men. He has food on the table, but no appetite. A comfortable bed, but no peace to allow for sleep. Beautiful children, but no fellowship with them. The list is endless. Nothing satisfies him. That's the wealth of the world. But thank God, who has made provisions for us to have access to all that we need in the kingdom. If this be the case, what then is responsible for the poverty that seems to weigh the people of God down? Now, this is for you, believers. What is the weight? Give me a moment. Sorry. What seems to weigh the people of God down today? Poverty is obviously not God's will for his saints. Let me repeat that again, because if you're a Christian and you think that you're being humble because you're poor, think again. Poverty is obviously not God's will for his saints. Poverty and the saints. Poverty is a curse and is self-inflicted, as proved in Malachi 3:7-9. It says, even from the days of your fathers, ye are gone away from mine, ordinaries, and have not kept them. Ye are cursed with a curse, for ye have robbed me, even this whole nation. Let me read that in the NLT. One moment. Malachi. Malachi 3:7-9. He will sit like a refiner of silver, burning away the dross. He will purify the levities. Wait, am I in the right one? Malachi 3. Yeah. He will purify the levities, refining them to gold and silver, so that they may once again offer acceptable sacrifice to the Lord. 4. Then once more the Lord will accept the offerings brought to him by the people of Judah and Jerusalem as he did in the past. Why does it look... Okay, 7. At the time I will put you on trial, I am eager to witness against all scorers and adulterers and liars. I will speak against those who cheat employees of their wages, who oppress widows and orphans, or who deprive the foreigners living among you of justice. For these people do not fear me, says the Lord of heaven's armies. 6. I am the Lord, and I do not change. This is why the descendants of Jacob are not already destroyed. 7. Ever since the days of the ancestors, you have scorned my decrees and failed to obey them. Now return to me, and I will return to you, says the Lord of heaven's armies. But you ask, how can you turn away when you have never gone away? It comes largely as a result of an willful act of disobedience to the law of abundance by the believer. Since the day you have been careful not to obey the law of obedience, where is the evidence of your carefulness? When God says you are cursed, let no prophet pretend that he can remove it. Just like when God blesses a man, no one can curse him. Take good heed to yourself concerning this matter and examine yourself. The financial depression in the land, particularly among God's people, has been a result of a flagrant, willful act of disobedience to the law of comfort. Because God does not matter to them, they also no longer matter to him. God is guided by his word alone, not by emotions. He has seen you cry, but he cannot help you because you have rejected his law. He is also relaxed on your calamity. Return to him now, I urge you, and he will also return to you and show you an other future. God is in the business of spreading between the sheep and the sheep, between the serving him and those serving only the billies. Let me read that again. Between those serving him and those serving the billies. Peter allowed Jesus the use of his boat and also obeyed his instruction to launch into the deep. Consequently, a miracle is inevitable. Everyone that allows God to remain God ends up being promoted and blessed. Hallelujah. Purpose of wealth. Money is needed for the expansion of the kingdoms on earth. No ministry, no matter how anointed, can do without it. No servant of God, no matter how great, can make any impact without it. Hallelujah. I'm going to leave you there. This has been the characteristics of wealth outside the kingdom and the characteristics of wealth in the kingdom. Re-listen to this. This chapter blessed me. It encouraged me, you know, and I pray that it does the same to you. Now, if you have a characteristics outside of the wealth, it's never too late. Start today. Repent. Ask the Lord to help you. Holy Spirit, guide me. Show me everything that I need to fix. Fix it. It's possible to be under the kingdom. Amen? Under the wealth of the kingdom. You know, with humility, with sorrow-free, with durability, increase, you know? If you have a mentality of this is it, this is all I'm going to make, this is all I'm capable of, I'm going to tell you today, scratch that. Get that out of your mind. Start looking at yourself of more increase, new levels. You know, start setting goals. Start getting in your word. Pray, Lord, show me, guide me. Give me God creative ideas. The Lord did it for us, and I know he can do it for you. And I pray this bless you. I love you guys. Stay on the lookout for our next series, Young and Prosperous. This Friday, Young Adult Service, April 28th, 7:30. Bring someone with you. They will not regret it. You will not regret it. It's going to be a fire service, which it always is. And get connected. We love you guys, and we'll see you on the next one. Love you. Bye.
Thanks again for tuning in. Don't forget, you can always stay up to date with us and even message us on Instagram at YA_PowerOfLove. Thanks again, and we'll see you on the next one.